honestly, the people who have really excited me or fascinated me has been great thinkers. Like, I've read all I could get hands on from Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Buddha.
Okay, hold on. So you're 27 and you are the founder of a company. How many people work under you?
With me, 300.
Like, what can they expect if they are part of a work culture? Like,
so we are looking for all those kinds of people who really think deeply about things, have an obsession with truth seeking about all the things, whatever they touch upon. The biggest discovery was discovery of ignorance. When we started believing that things could get better, we have to build an ecosystem where our kids grow up with lot of curiosity and very less fear of failure.
Gaming is everywhere today. Entertainment, education, marketing, sports, even politics. Today we are here with a young entrepreneur, the founder and CEO of Zoopy, one of the fastest growing online gaming platforms in India. Dilshesh, welcome to the Sid Warrior podcast. Really excited to be here. So games are not new. Games have been present in our country since probably the beginning.
Yeah,
we've always played games, and games have evolved so much. So today when I come back home from work, I fire up my PlayStation and I just play half an hour of Spider-Man. That's my current game. Before I ask you anything else, are you a gamer?
Games to me is more a pathway into something deeper, that is really understanding human mind. So my love is more about understanding human mind. Games is like one of those fundamental doors. If you can understand, you can really look deep. I'll just build on something you said, that gaming has been there for centuries.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, it's not just in humans. All species play, young of all species play. And the reason for that is, like, why do they do that? They basically, in a safer setting, it is an opportunity to learn. So that's why you will see a cub and a lion, or a mother lion, will teach him how to hunt, how to wrestle, all of that in a playful, safe setting.
Yeah.
So games is not only fundamental to humans, but to all species.
When I think of school, so if you remember when you were in school, third standard, fourth standard, we would always be inventing games.
Yeah.
We would, of course, play cricket, football, but we would always come up with these new games. We would take any random thing that we could find in our school ground. I remember once we were playing some version of baseball with a coconut bark and a dried coconut. Because we didn't have a bat and ball at that time, and the dried coconuts don't bounce. So we had to throw the coconut directly, and it was just something that we invented.
Yeah.
And it was the best game.
Hmm.
So that's another thing, right? That it's, like you said, because it's there in every species.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we are wired to play.
Yeah.
Even if there's nothing around us, we will create games and we will find some way to play.
Yeah. I think it's really fundamental to first understand where do games come from? Why have they always been a part of our culture, and why they have stayed, and why they always will stay? I gave a couple of examples, and that goes into what you alluded to, why it is the future of education. So if you look at the games even the kids play, and all of us have played today, which would be hide and seek and tag, how did they evolve, right? Those were designed by our genius hunter-gatherers, right, to teach their kids how to hunt, how not to be hunted. That's what tag and hide and seek is.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask a kid to wake up in the morning and run 100 meters, he's not going to do that, but he will be happy to play tag. So that is really the power of gaming, that how can you take something that is essential for your thriving, survival, prosperity, and make it fun. Like, we see New Year resolutions, right? Everyone is like, you know, I'm getting six-pack abs, I'm meditating daily, I'm going to work on this, and the gym subscriptions spike up and all of them are gone. Because it's hard to do these things on a regular basis. Like, one of the hacks I've done for myself is, I am a cycling machine. If I had to do it just 30 minutes doing nothing else, it's very, very hard for me. But I can easily play three Ludo games. I won't even know where the time went.
Yeah.
So that is what the power of gaming or gamification is, how you can take things which you know will serve you, are essential for you, but are difficult to do, help it do it in a meaningful, fun way.
Beautifully put. Even when you are with a baby, you play this game called Peekaboo.
Yeah.
So the baby is looking at your face, yeah, and then suddenly your face disappears from the baby's view.
Yeah.
And for a second, the baby is confused.
Yeah.
Where have you gone? And as soon as you come back, the baby is happy,
yeah,
smiling, laughing.
Yeah.
Because in its head, it has solved a problem.
Yes.
There was a problem of the missing face.
Yes.
And now this, yeah, problem is solved. So the baby's brain feels a sense of achievement that, yes, I've solved it. And it gets a dopamine spike. It gets pleasure.
Yeah.
So right from that age, our brain is wired to solve problems and get that motivation.
Yeah.
And so the next time it will look even harder. Where is it? So it's peekaboo that evolves into hide and seek.
Yeah.
And it's hide and seek that evolves into exploration.
Yeah.
It's hide and seek that made men go from Europe to, you know, all the way to America. Because they're exploring.
Yeah.
So it is that same impulse that carries you forward. How do you take something like that and use that to help people find motivation?
So let's break it down. Why games are so engaging, right? So I think all of us would have heard about the concept of flow state, right? So what is flow state? The flow state is that you're so in the moment that self-knowing consciousness goes away. So our most blissful moments are those when the mind is shut up. You know, it's the popular term in our culture right now is mindfulness.
Yes.
But to me, Buddha was mindless. It's actually mindlessness when the mind goes away. So that's what has always fascinated me. And flow state is something we'll see present across cultures, genders, nationalities, everywhere. So it's a very fundamental aspect of human nature. So now let's break it down. So there are three requirements for something to be in a flow state. One is that the skill and the demands of the task has to be in a fine balance. If something is too easy, we get bored. If something is too hard, we get anxious. So that's just about cracking that balance of the difficulty and the skills you have. Second is there has to be real-time feedback. Like whatever you're doing, you need to get real-time feedback to be in the zone. The third thing is the failure has to matter. The more serious you are about it and the failure matters, the more you are going to be in the flow state. One of the best examples of that is rock climbing. So if you see in ancient Greek mythology, it was a punishment. Aap pura pahar chado and then niche aao. You can slip at any time and die. Yeah. But why do people do it? Why is it a game? Because every time you're finding a pattern, okay, where do I have to put my next foot, my next hand? And you can really slip and go down. So the failure matters. So the moment these conditions are there, and like you said, we all have these fundamental drives or needs to be engaged, to accomplish something, to have ownership, all of those fundamental drives which all of us carry. So the games fundamentally feed into that nature.
Yeah. You mentioned about failure rate. I had read this research on the ideal failure rate. So in school and all, when we are growing up, we think that you should never fail. And we are made to feel that success is routine and failure is very bad.
Yeah.
But apparently, if you do something where you succeed 100% of the time, you will not do it. You will stop doing it. So in fact, you should fail 1 out of 4 times.
Yeah.
That is the only way that you will keep getting motivated.
That's so true. That's so true. I'll build on that. So it's the same way. Like if you've seen, you would have played Mario in the beginning.
Yes.
If you take any game, if you're just winning all the time, you're going to get bored.
Correct.
So that's where, like you say, failure rate. As a game designer, I talk about how to amplify the difficulty. That it leaves you wanting more. And the beauty of games is failure doesn't hurt. Right? There's nothing to feel bad about. You lose, you can restart it again. So that's why I see lots and lots of people actually turning to games, because reality is not that kind, because failure really matters there. So in gaming, it's the hard work that you choose to do. Most of the times what happens in real life is we all are doing something we have to do. So there's a big difference when we are, so the definition of game is the difficult problems you choose out of your will.
Yeah.
Like look at a game of golf. You can take a ball and just pick it and drop it there. But you are taking it with a very thin stick, hitting it all over the wind, water, and bringing it there. So it's the hard work that you choose for yourself.
Because when we say gaming, I think what we are talking about is motivation.
Yeah.
The urge to get better, the urge to keep trying.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happen in depression is that your dopamine levels go low, your dopamine activity goes low.
Yeah.
So your motivation to do things is less.
Yeah. So I guess the nuance there is it's passivity. Passivity, low energy levels.
Hmm.
So the opposite of play is not work. It's actually passivity, low energy.
Yeah. The lack of motivation that I don't want to do anything.
Yes.
If you are motivated to do anything, you are actually gaming.
Yeah.
There is, because that is what gaming is in the brain, this motivation to let me get up, let me try to solve a problem, let me try to fix this, let me try to find a way.
Yeah.
The only thing, like you said, that games provide is a safe space.
Yeah.
Like a trial room.
Yeah.
Before we get out into the real world,
yeah.
let me try it on and see what fits, what doesn't.
Yeah.
And then let me go out and see it. Which brings me to real world problems.
Hmm.
Like, for example, business.
Hmm.
Now, somebody might learn lessons in games, but do you think they can apply it in the real world?
I think so. Like, there have been a lot of research which has shown that people or the kids who grew up playing a lot of strategic games, like, you know, Catan and others, actually develop muscle for critical thinking and first principle thinking a lot. Because the way I think about this is whether it's willpower, curiosity, or critical thinking, these are muscles that need to be trained. So there was this great experiment done in Israeli school, how to cultivate curiosity in kids. Anytime a kid comes home, his mother asks him, what is one unique question you ask your teacher? So the kid has to ask 365 unique questions every day. Every year, right? So it's a muscle. It's a muscle. It's the same way willpower is a muscle. Creativity, critical thinking is a very, very strong muscle. So we do actually believe that. And there's a nuance here. Games are great for learning, but that doesn't mean, you know, they can replace all other mediums altogether. Like books are great. Books are great for, you know, linear, detailed explanation. Games are a great way to teach systems problem. Very, very complex problems. But that doesn't mean, like, you take something very simple, 2 + 2. Oh, that's the problem we see now, people trying to gamify everything. Like, you know, so it's a medium which is very important to teach nuance, intuitive, complex things.
Yeah. So there is this concept of fund of knowledge and application of knowledge. So games may not teach you fund of knowledge because fund of knowledge is something you have to learn. But application of knowledge is great through gamification. This difference has to be made. So, for example, cooking. Now, for someone to become a good chef, they need to have the knowledge of ingredients.
Yeah.
They need to know what rice is, what dal is, what spices are, what which vegetable is what, all of this.
Yeah.
But how to put it all together can be a game.
Yeah.
So that is the difference.
There is something fundamental about trial and error, and error that games allow you to do. That you build a theory, you test a hypothesis, you take the learnings. That's how like kids learn physics, right? How to work, how to not. Because there's no implicit knowledge. It's all hit and trial. So again, the nuance there is you don't start then doing basic things. And like books are important for detailed, linear explorations. Books are important. But again, if it's complex systems thinking, games are beautiful at that.
To be fair, we are currently doing a podcast because of content creation. And this entire world of content creation has been a trial and error.
See, that's why I fundamentally feel this, you can call it curiosity, or the other thing could be fear of failure. We have to build an ecosystem where our kids grow up with lot of curiosity and very less fear of failure. Because like the way we talk in our company is everything is doable until it violates the laws of physics. So it's actually something that we believe in, right? So the point is, if we really are raising our kids with, you know, with very, the biggest barrier is what? Fear of looking bad, fear of failure. And
log kya kahenge,
exactly, right? Fear of rejection, fear of ridicule, whatever you want to call it. Just, I just sometimes do this thought experiment, kids raised in a country, but they are amped up on curiosity and reduced on like fear of failure.
Yeah.
What kind of things can't be graded?
Yeah. What would those kids even believe is possible? Because if you believe something is possible, you will start looking for those things.
Yeah.
When you read even a random newspaper, magazine, when you read about something that somebody in US has done, if you don't believe that this is you, you'll think, "Ha, ye to unka life hai."
Yes.
But if you believe this is something that you can do,
yes,
you will read that same article differently.
That's so beautiful. Again, I remember one line, I think I read it in Sapiens.
Mm.
The biggest discovery was discovery of ignorance. Yeah. When we started believing that things could get better, right? Yeah. I fundamentally believe like it's the entrepreneurs that move civilization forward.
Yeah.
Fire was discovered by some entrepreneur at some level. You know, electricity, all the big innovations happen by entrepreneur. Now there's one entrepreneur who is expanding us to become a multi-planetary species.
Correct.
So that is my fundamental thing. Like these are subtle nuances, you know. How do you change behavior of a system? It actually goes back to like when a kid is born, everyone searches for which way is high status. Then you want to go that side.
Yeah.
So
I love that you bring it down to curiosity. And if I can ask you a slightly personal question, you have had this journey which is not a traditional one, right? So after IIT, I think you did chemical engineering.
Yeah.
Now, a traditional way of thinking would be that, okay, I will join a chemical company.
Yeah.
I might do research, I might do PhD, and that's absolutely fine. But what made you take this road which ended up here? What was that drive that took you here?
So I think there are a couple of things. A, I tried work. I did an intern in a very large pharma company.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't find myself working there because, I don't know, I didn't feel the zeal I had, the fire I had was getting reciprocated. Then I tried research also, so specifically in biomedics.
Yeah.
The problem with that is you work on actually really cool problems, but impact might not even come in your lifetime. It's very large, long time span.
Correct.
Kind of a thing. So when I look back, it was also a method of elimination.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is this one very core value or drive, which is freedom, which is you should get to pick what you want to work on, when you want to work on, when you want to work, who do you want to work with?
Yeah.
So actually, I look back, and of course, my fascination or with studying human mind. So as like, that's the beauty of startups or being an entrepreneur, you can't hide. Every day there are 100 problems that are thrown at you, which you yourself see, okay, you are the bottleneck. This is where your limiting thought and belief is coming in the way. And karam hi dharam hai, so there's no other way, you have to overcome it.
When you said that in research, it's a long journey, what you mean is that what you do today, the feedback loop could be 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah.
Whereas shorter feedback loops help you revise your course, correct things faster, which is the essence of gaming.
I agree. I was about to say that. Yeah.
So for example, in Ludo, the feedback loop is 1 minute, 2 minutes.
Yes.
Right? In chess, it's like 10 minutes,
yes,
1 hour. So you learn very quickly that this move works, this move doesn't.
Yeah.
And in slower fields, like in research, the feedback loop is longer.
Yeah.
And there are some people who are wired for longer feedback loops.
Yeah.
And that is perfect for them.
Yeah.
And some people require shorter feedback loops.
Yes.
But it is all different kinds of gaming.
That's so true.
So in a way, you have to find your game.
Yeah.
You have to find the game that suits you.
Games have progress bars. Life doesn't have a progress bar, right? Where you are currently.
Yes. Which is such a problem, which is why a lot of people create artificial progress bars.
Yeah.
So even in school, first standard, 10th standard, what is this?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
It is actually so arbitrary.
Yeah.
You will study for 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's like a progress bar.
Yes.
And then you will finish your PhD or whatever, your undergraduate in 3 years. That's a progress bar.
Yeah.
Once you're out of academics and real life starts, then you're out of progress bar. Abhi kya progress bar? Then your aunts and uncles will ask you, ki, "Acha, beta kab kar rahe ho? Shaadi kab kar rahe ho?" You know, that's the progress bar for life. Another thing is the importance of mentors, because in a way, mentors give you a progress bar.
Hmm.
Because you see that I want to play the game like he did, or she did, which is also a kind of gamification. Have you used that?
I think, I like to be a bit cautious of that. Like, I try really hard. I like to run my life in debug mode. that is where the desires are coming from. I get what you are trying to say, like, you know, seeing certain paths and you feel inner resonance with it and you getting a direction of it. So honestly, the people who have really excited me or fascinated me has been great thinkers. Like, I've read all I could get hands on from Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Buddha, Marcus Aurelius, all of these people who, I think the ultimate milestone is mastering the mind. Mere hisab se uske upar kuch hai nahi. So in a way, now I look back, those people do give an idea, you know, where you want to be, we see mentors or people all around, and suddenly there is some inner knowing or inner resonance that comes out, ye wala path is something I'm innerly wired for and want to chase that.
I love that you've named philosophers. A lot of the things that they said is still valid.
Yes.
Because they were solving the hard problems of life.
Yes.
That never change.
Yes.
In fact, the older you go, the more hard truths you find.
Yeah.
I remember mentioning about Bhagavad Gita with you.
Hmm.
And that is one of the oldest philosophies.
Yes.
And there is a lot of gamification.
Yes.
In Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. Which is when Bhagavad Gita essentially is about conflict. That Arjun doesn't know whether to go left or right.
Yeah.
And Krishna is trying to help him by saying that if you do this, this is the outcome.
Hmm.
And this is the outcome that you want.
Yeah.
You know, you want moksha. You want, and this is the path to it.
Yeah.
And the better you are at it, the better your life will be.
Hmm.
So in a way, that is also gamification. And when I read that the first time, I thought, man, this has never changed.
But see, that's the thing. Like, you read all these thinkers, you will see a convergence. There is clear convergence to the fundamentals. Like, people can take different approaches, different ways.
How old are you, and what games did you play while you were growing up?
So the games, I played Road Rash, GTA, a lot of it, GTA Vice City, the EA Sports, the cricket game,
the football FIFA ones, game. Yes,
yeah, all those, lot of Mario, Contra. There was this setup, like, you get million games in a one that cassette.
But
those are like 10-20 which keep repeating.
Of course,
over.
But it just makes you feel that
you
have so many games.
And you just say, it's repeat. Just made me. Yeah, so I'm 27.
You're 27? Okay, hold on. So you're 27 and you are the founder of a company. How many people work under you?
With me, 300.
With you, 300 people?
Yeah.
And they're all gaming enthusiasts?
Yeah, most of them.
All the other young CEOs out there, and also people out there looking to work in companies like this, right? I'm sure there are a lot of people looking to work in young startups, and gaming is such a happening, you know, field.
Yeah,
what would you want to tell them? Like, what can they expect if they are part of a work culture like this?
So we are looking for all those kinds of people who really think deeply about things, have an obsession with truth seeking about all the things, whatever they touch upon. And if you feel you're missing something or something is off, then Zupi is the place to be.
Truth seeking is a powerful word, usually linked to people much further along in their life journey. But I'm so glad that you brought it up in the context of young kids looking to join work, because truth is something that everyone is seeking at every age.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you yourself have gone through that journey to, you know, make you come till this point.
And you know, it at times sounds philosophical, but it has a lot of business sense. Like, you know, people ask, you know, a company dusre ke sare product features copy karti hai, but why aren't they the same? Because you can't copy the deep visceral insight you have. You can't copy a way of being. Like Sid is Sid, I can't copy that. I can wear the same clothes, say the same words. So what we believe is, like, the great companies are all based on some deep visceral insight. It's visceral, it's not intellectual.
Zupi is predominantly involved in what kind of games? Have you divided games into some kind of categories?
Yeah. So we wanted to pick up games which are part of Indian culture, mm-hmm. which are part of social fabric, and fundamentally bring people together. So look at our games like Ludo, Snakes and Ladders, Carrom, all of these games have been part of and have so much warmth around it, because we all remember garmi ki chuttiyon mein or just sitting with mom, dad, nana, nani. I used to play a lot with my nana, nani. And this used to be like that one place where we all came together. Like I was what, 6, 7, and my elder sister, she would be 10. We can't talk about a lot of things with nana, nani, but when we are playing, we are just conversing, sitting together, just connecting a lot. So that has been our theme. Let's pick up games which are deep part of social fabric, part of Indian culture. Like all of these games have originated in India and are a deep part of that. And can we use that to actually strengthening the social fabric in many ways? Like the biggest problems is loneliness. Like if you see all the trends, the number of average close friends, interactions, all of that is going a lot down, and that's a big problem to solve. Again, that's where games come in. Games, you need a platform where people can come together and engage with each other. Games in a way provide that platform.
It's mainly kids who play games. Do you think there's a shift now? I think kids and teenagers, adolescents will play, but do you think more and more adults are also getting into gaming? Or at least on your platform, do you see that trend?
So our platform, because it's a pay-to-play, is only available for people who are over than 18. We see all age groups, male, female, elderly, all of them. And again, that's the beauty of Ludo, you know, it doesn't discriminate, whether it's gender, whether it's the, or even economic strata, everyone has played. And this game is the most inclusive game I can think of Indian culture.
Right, and on your platform, I can say play with 3 of my friends, even if they're around the world, different parts.
Only in India, right now?
Only in India.
Yeah, right now we are only in India.
Understood. Okay, that still makes for such a nostalgia-inducing moment.
And like, I'll give you an example, something I've been thinking a lot about. It's not just kids, adults, how it's going to be required for prosperity of society also. Like, we all are seeing the rise of ChatGPT, GenAI, all of these tools. They are crushing all the exams already, right? So in the future, it's going to be about, really going to be about reskilling. Because the pace at which tech is innovating, you have to keep reskilling yourself. This actually, we believe, going to be a dearth of jobs which humans can do better than machines. So that will mean, like, if I'm a 35-year-old, I have to learn new skills at a very fast pace. But, you know, that is very, very stressful, that to past a certain age to acquire new skills. So now, again, how do you make that fun? That's where we believe, even we talk about the engagement, the happiness, the joyfulness, but on the other extreme, where it's productivity, all of these tools, it's again, reskilling is going to be super important. You have to make it fun.
One of the most entertaining conversations I had recently was about how people need to make games so that they can learn how to be in relationships better. Because how you talk to your partner is actually a game. When they are angry, you will have to say this. When they are upset, they have to say this.
Very cool.
And these are things that are so emotionally charged.
Yeah.
But if you can somehow bring some distance between it and learn it properly.
Very cool.
They can, you know, you can learn it in a better way. I thought of how word-based games and real-life scenario games can be used to train so many different scenarios.
I think it goes back to simulating in a safe environment. That's what we were discussing about, right?
Yes.
I think the fundamentals remain the same.
Throughout time, this has been the case. Where is Zoopy headed from here? So it's 2023. You created this platform. And like we said, games can go into any direction. Every field has some gaming potential. Where do you see Zoopy going from here?
So there are like 2-3 ways we can look at it. You know, what's the 1-year goal? What's the 3-year goal? What's the 20-year goal? Let's talk about 20-year.
Amazing.
That's,
love it.
That's more fun. I think that's the power. So what was step one for us to really understand and design flow state? So there is theoretical knowledge that I've read everything about flow state, but can I actually design experiences, can design games, reconstruct them, re-engineer them, which actually cause a flow state? So now we have validated that. We have actually designed our games, repurposed them in a way where their engagement or love for it is even higher than traditional games. So that is the first step we have cracked. The next step for us is going to be again about building an ecosystem around it. That the things we have discussed, like, you know, building good habits, whether it's the physical aspect of it, whether it's the educational aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows they should meditate. But tough hai, bahut tough hai. So for us, the real next step would be, can we take these learnings that we had and expand it into multiple applications across the society?
Right. That was one of the points I was going to raise, is that earlier most of the games was physical. We were moving with our bodies and we were learning with our bodies.
Yeah.
Now more and more it has become mental.
Yeah.
Of course it is important. Most of the tasks that we have has become mental.
Yeah.
But many of the problems that we face in life is because our body is not learning as quickly as our brain is. So there is a brain-body disconnection. And very few people are paying attention to their bodies. They're paying attention to their minds.
Yeah.
They will learn, they will go on Wikipedia, they'll read books. But are you paying an equal amount of attention to your body? Not so much. Gamification is huge when it comes to this. For example, smartwatches give you these goals.
You
know, and you can compete with your friends.
Yeah.
Have you completed your circles? Have you walked 10,000 steps in a day?
Yeah.
So that is also a form of gamification.
Yeah. But to me, the next level or the next breakthrough in these things gonna be, see, the power of gamification is the act itself causes a flow state. How do you create that? That one, like, I get it, these things are progresses, you know, goals, feedback, you're giving them.
Yeah.
Like the example I gave, while I'm cycling, of course it's stationary cycling machine, I'm playing Ludo. I'm having so much fun.
Right.
I don't even know where those 30 minutes are gone. And those 30 minutes are highly enjoyable to me.
Yeah.
And they keep me in shape. They do a lot of goodness for me. That to me is the ultimate merging that we as a society will have to crack. Whether it's education, whether it's physical, the act itself becomes joyful.
If you had to randomly guess, what could be the things that change gaming?
I think we are very cautious of that. The creativity is gonna get very democratized. Like, from a text, you can create a video or a movie. I think that is gonna get democratized. That said, just on text prompts, we'll be able to build a beautiful game. The second thing which we believe, the agents in the game, those will be highly, highly smart, highly conversational, almost human-like. So the level of simulatedness or to the real world is going to get amplified to a level where we might not be able to differentiate. Is this a real character versus just NPCs, non-playing characters.
Yeah.
So these are a couple of things that we are very, very conscious of. And we see there's a clear trend happening. So jab TV nahi hote the, to 100% hamari energy physical world mein jati hogi. Then TV came, to let's say 20% digital mein aagayi. Then mobile came, let's say 50% hogi. Still you have to go and get a device out. Then the glasses will come, which is always on of you. And even you take it to the next step, maybe there's a chip implanted in you.
Yeah.
Then you are always on. So wherever the energy attention goes, that's everywhere the wealth also goes. So that trend, now that's 10 year, 20 year, 25 years, we all have to see.
Yeah. But if that comes, it will change the way that we interact with.
Absolutely. Almost like a Black Mirror episode.
I was just going to say that. Because there's one episode where you can wear a lens in your eye.
Yes.
And what all digital software do, what they do is put a filter between you and reality. Right. So like the Pokemon games, augmented reality is when you point your phone somewhere and now suddenly there is a Pokemon there. The phone has put a filter. So now you might think that reality is through the phone. But if that phone was in your eye, how would you know that the Pokemon is not there?
Exactly. So that means like maybe we'll have 100 personalities in 100 different worlds. That might mean physics goes away in games, right? You will be flying, you will be doing all kinds of things. So, and what actually worries me is that the physical world might be just too boring to even compete with that at all. So maybe we'll be living completely digital lives.
Digital. It's interesting because you said the one rule that you had that you can't break is the rule of physics. And now I think even that is no longer a rule.
Yes.
You made a point on vitamins and painkillers. Now, I feel that is a great point to kind of conclude this conversation on, because, and I'm bringing it back for a reason. I feel that people need to really understand that difference, because it applies across all fields. Whatever job you are doing, whatever you're creating, whatever you're putting out into the world, I really like that paradigm. So A, can you expand it a little bit more? And B, because you said that gaming is vitamin, will it remain there or will it become a pain?
Yeah. So this is helpful classification, but it's not perfect. Like things spill over. It's just a good mental tool. So when I say painkillers, tools or objects or products that actually solve a problem for you, khana chahiye, cab chahiye, so Ola, Uber, Amazon, Swiggy. When we say vitamins, it's more about like, you know, entertainment chahiye, engage chahiye. So it's more human motivations. So one of the things that I still, gaming is seen as like, culturally it's a negative, arre game kar diya isne. But what I have been trying, and this is where we have to do a much bigger part, is like, it's essential. We are not born ki 9 se 5 kaam karo aur aake so jao. Imagine a world without fiction. So life is to be lived also, to be enjoyed also, to be engaged also, right? So that's where we believe this vitamin, like even when you measure a nation, ki yaar GDP kitna hai, we are not productivity machines, man. So wo thoda aage hai industrial revolution ki wajah se, but life is to be lived also, enjoyed also. So that's where we believe, you know, vitamins play a very, very important role. And it also maps back to productivity, efficiency, and all those things. So it's like a very popular line we have in our company, ki if let's say society had just X amount of money, would you fund Edison's or Beethoven's? Right? But the reality is it's not X, it's the good entrepreneurs that are here. So the society actually needs both. We need Edison's as well, we need Beethoven's as well. So we have decided as a company to focus on building the Beethovens.
So to make life worth living, so that you have enough fun, so that productivity can improve.
Yes. Ties into that.
I love that. Dilshare, thank you so much. There has been so much learning from this conversation. Gaming is, like you said, something that we do to pass our time, something that we do to learn stuff, and something that we do to improve ourselves. Everything is a game. Every book that you read is a game. I see a lot of very, very interesting books here. And I didn't realize, even when I saw you in your office, I didn't realize you were such a big reader. And people usually consider book reading and gaming to be different. You know, our parents would be completely okay if you're reading a book. But if you're on our phone playing games, they'll be like, "Arey, phone ko rakh de." But you seem to have found a way to combine both. That's amazing. Any final parting thoughts to your audience?
I think, I have to think now. Suddenly there's a lot of pressure to say something super deep and
super
meaningful.
Super deep. This is, so I can make this a game for you. I'll give you 3 tries.
that is helpful. That's helpful. So now there's less pressure. I think the one thing is this fundamental line. It has been said in many ways, but everything is possible, just believing in that and having the humility and curiosity to approach anything. That is seems very simple, but to me there's nothing more powerful than that. That all problems are solvable, asterisk, they don't break laws of physics. That to me is like the biggest breakthrough or a mental construct you have. So if we approach life that way, you know, whatever is thrown at us, that we persist, we really think about it, we see the source of it, we can pretty much do a lot of amazing things.
I love that. I'm going to give everybody a small exercise to do, which is converting games to metaphors. Okay? So, and you can do this with any game, but since we are talking of Ludo, let's do it with Ludo. Now in Ludo, you have to traditionally roll a 6 for one of your pieces to come out, right? And you win when all your pieces will
go home.
So label each piece as one of your priorities in life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
So label, say, professional success. happy relationship,
hmm.
physical health,
hmm.
you know, your main goals in life.
Beautiful.
Label each piece.
Yeah.
Now play the game. And you'll realize how life works.
Wow.
So I hope everybody goes and tries this. It's a great mental exercise. You'll feel calmer. You'll understand that, wow. yaar, life mein aise hi hota hai.
Exactly. So much beauty in it.
And it's so simple.
It's choices all the time. It's correct. What to do, when to do. Do you take the risk? Do you play it safe? Do you go for the goal?
Correct.
Or you wait things out?
And which piece do you move out
yeah,
first?
Exactly.
And you think that somebody else is way ahead of you, but
yeah.
suddenly luck turns.
Yes.
This is what life is.
So beautiful.
So I hope that everybody uses that. Dilshad, thank you for being part of this amazing conversation. Really loved having you here. I hope we can do this again.
Yeah, Sid, thank you so much. I superbly enjoy your content. There is just a warmth, a lot of authenticity with yeah. whatever you put out. Grateful to you for putting all the great work out.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank
Bye, everyone. Cheers. Take care. And I will see you soon in the next episode. Cheers.